Hey guys, welcome back to episode 43, the last episode before America changes forever. All right guys, thanks for tuning in. This is the last Defining Truth episode before this momentous and historical event coming up, the election of the President of the United States 2024 on November 5th. This is episode 43 of Defining Truth. Thanks for tagging along. If you haven't already, please subscribe to all of our different areas, Apple Podcasts for podcasts, if that's where you listen to them. We're also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and check out our website, definingtruth.org, definingtruth.org, where you can see what we're all about here, encouraging, educating, and instilling Christian Judaic values in American politics. And also while you're there, pick up a great tool. Christmas is coming up, right after Thanksgiving. And you can grab a copy of Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. It's a great tool to add to your toolbox when you sit down and have those conversations with family members, friends, coworkers, etc. Have a little apologetic backing to your discussion. That's Defining Truth, the book, Articulating America's Worldview. And it's on audio too, Brandon, right? Brandon did not read it, but that would have been cool. We'll think about that for book two. Now, we got a great guy to read it out on the East Coast, did a phenomenal job. And if that's your kind of thing, go to audible.com and look for Defining Truth, and you could listen to it there. Okay, so let's get into it. Brandon, what's our countdown? How many days are we until Election Day? I think seven?
6 days. Today's Wednesday. You have until Tuesday at 8 o'clock Pacific time. Or I guess probably 8 o'clock wherever you're at, but definitely in California, you have until 8 p.m. on Tuesday to vote. So okay. You've had plenty of opportunity. You got your mail-in ballot. You can either mail it back or bring it in.
Yeah, so first and foremost, if you're watching this, number one, share this with everyone you know. Literally. Like, paste and copy the link, whether it's YouTube or if you're listening to a podcast, and send it to everybody in your contact list, and tell them to vote, and vote now. You need to vote now, right now. You should have already been registered by now. Early voting is where it's at. We're already seeing big, big numbers come in. We've had an unprecedented amount of first time, never voted, never registered early voters pouring in across the United States. And that's very, very interesting data there. But what we need you to do is vote. We need you to get out and vote. Okay, so 100%. And when I say share this, we're going to talk about some other reasons why. So tune in. So just going over a couple things from a few days ago, actually. Swing states, obviously, major battlegrounds. We have some really interesting data coming in from around the country as far as early voting. And this is why it's so important that you get out and vote. In particular, Pennsylvania will be obviously a key state to win. I think most analysts agree that he who takes Pennsylvania takes the White House. So if you're in Pennsylvania, remember, love your country, love God, love your family, vote conservative. But check this out. As of a few days ago now, about 11.1 million votes had been cast across the seven battleground states. You're talking some pretty big numbers, 17,000 in Arizona. Georgia had a whopping 194,454 early ballots cast. One of the biggest ones, North Carolina, 240,927 votes cast already. What's interesting about that data is that these numbers already exceed the 2020 margin of victory in four of the seven battleground states. So this is going to be a really, really interesting week as we track these numbers coming in. Stay tuned. This is our last podcast before election, but we'll be up on social media. We'll be on X. You can find me there, Josiah O'Neill on X, or Defining Truth on Instagram. And follow us along. We'll be tracking. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That's a great way to support us. Also, I want to remind you that if you are looking for something to do on election night, okay, on November 5th, starting at 8:30 p.m. So write this down or do whatever you need to do to remember this. November 5th at 8:30 p.m., the Real Life Network will present a live coast-to-coast election coverage of Pray, Vote, Stand Decision 2024. It'll be in partnership, Pastor Jack Hibbs with Family Research Council. Daniel Cohen will be on there. Tony Perkins will be on there. Other esteemed voices. They're going to provide updates on the presidential election and key races across the nation. So that's November 5th, election night at 8:30 p.m. Definitely tune in there to get up to date. And I think Pastor Jack's going to be praying throughout the night as well. It's just a good place to get relevant data, good insight as the night progresses. So look to us and our socials for more information on that. We'll be blasting that info out on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook as well. So again, another favor, please share that information because it's very important. And if I haven't said it already, go vote. All right. My wife and I, we went to vote yesterday. It's not that difficult. Okay. Fill out your ballot. There's a plethora of good voter guides out there to help guide your Christian values when you vote. All right. Now, what we want to highlight, and I really want to talk about on this last episode, is the fact that much of what the world has told you is politics is emphatically not politics. They're moral issues. So some of you may be thinking, well, you know, why is the pastor out there talking about politics? No, politics is going to be, you know, the price at the gas pump. Politics is going to be the economical issues, albeit God has a place in all of those things. He still does, absolutely. But you know what's not politics? The mutilation of underage children and the hysteria of the transgender movement. That's not politics. That's disgusting and immoral ideology that is desecrating little children made in the image of God. You know what else is not politics? The core family and the value that a father and a mother bring to the strength of a nation. You know what else is not politics? The preservation of the unborn, the lives of millions of children who are murdered before they get a chance to take their first breath, some even after, as we've learned recently with left to die laws across this country. These are not political issues. You, Christian, you, pastor, whatever capacity or role you find yourself in life, I'm talking to you, you need to vote. It is your civic responsibility, and God has allowed you to be born in a time and a place such as this, and the time is now. Far be it from you or I, when all of this is done, that we have to give a response to our Creator that said, we did nothing. We often talk about this, about burying your talents in the ground. And that's not who we want to be. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. As our friend Eric Metaxas, we were recently on his show a couple weeks ago. He has a great book, Letter to the American Church. He's working on a new documentary, by the way. Follow up on that. He points out that there are incredible similarities between early 1930s Germany and the state of the church there and the United States now in 2024. And we're at a crucible. We're at this final moment where you stand up and ante up and kick in and make a difference, or you will forever lose all that God has given you. And you're not exempt from history, because thus goes the pattern of history. We see the ebb and flow of empires as they rise and fall. And dependent upon that preservation is the action of its citizens who stand on moral ground and do the right thing, regardless of what people think. So get out and vote. Now, let's go over some data real quick. We talked about this earlier this week on my Instagram channel, but I want to go over this recent study. George Barna recently released some pretty heavy information on Christians and voting. And I want you to think about this as I read how significant these numbers are. So in 2020, in the presidential election, Biden won Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, okay? Victories in those states helped him secure 306 electoral votes to Trump's 232, I think. Yep. It exceeded the 270 needed to clinch the presidency. All right. So post-election data revealed that in Arizona, okay, this is one of the states Biden won, allegedly, 730,000 evangelicals did not vote. Joe Biden won that state by 10,457 votes. So almost a million Christians who dismissed their civic responsibility, who cast their moral obligation aside, they cost us the presidency of the United States. This pattern repeats itself all throughout the country. Georgia, 1.3 million evangelicals did not vote. Biden carried that state by 11,000 votes. I hope you understand or see what I'm trying to say here, that you're shirking your responsibility by just wallowing in apathy and casting things aside that God has given you the ability to choose in and do righteousness. You are literally contributing to the downfall of your country by not growing up and taking these issues seriously. In Michigan, 2020 presidential election, 1.3 million evangelicals did not vote. Biden won Michigan by 154,000 votes. In Pennsylvania, a key state in this year's fight, 1.4 million evangelicals did not vote, and Biden won it by 80,000 votes. Wisconsin, same thing. North Carolina. I mean, the list goes on and on. This George Barna discussion, they go into the study's findings, and basically they revealed that an estimated 5 million regular churchgoers would be likely to vote as a result of simple exhortation from, hold on, not from pundits on Instagram, not from Fox News casters. George Barna study said that a simple exhortation from their churches or their pastors would drastically alter the outcome of an election. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but pastors, if you're sitting behind a pulpit, church leader, if you're sitting behind a ministry and you're ignoring the suffering of those around you, if the Lord has given you the ability to lead, then do so. Encourage your people to vote their values and speak for righteousness. Speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And maybe this is the exhortation that will turn the tides in this landslide towards socialism that we've experienced. If you want to know all the details of the George Barna study and a very wise opinion, you should check out harbingersdaily.com. I'll throw the link up in the YouTube video. Go to harbingersdaily.com. Great world news, biblically understood. Look for the featured article by Jack Hibbs titled, "I'm Telling Christians It's a Sin Not to Vote?" Question mark. That's exactly what I'm telling you. The article's by Brianna Clausen, came out October 23rd. I would encourage you to go read that. It has all the details of the George Barna study, and then Pastor Jack goes over what that implies or what it directly means to church leadership, finalizing those thoughts with essentially saying, are you standing up or are you standing down? This week, Brandon, in Sunday service, we're getting into Revelation, and Lindsay and I were talking, my wife, about sort of the comparisons between the churches in Revelation that are beginning to be addressed there and the churches today, right? And you see that some of them were doing good things, but they had forgotten their first love. You had others like the Nicolaitans who had just accepted worldly doctrines and ideology, and they'd just gone towards the flesh. And really, when you break it down, you see a very clear picture of, we see that now. We see churches who are either so legalistic, they're like Pharisees and they've totally lost the message of grace and they're detached from the world around them because they think they're special. And then you have this sort of woke, far left worldly church that is just so far away. Like you can't even call them Christians. They're so far gone. They deny the basic principles of the person of Christ and the doctrine of the word. And I feel like, you know, if you are a believer and you're listening to this, okay, I want you to take a real hard look at who you are. And maybe the Lord is asking you this question. Are you going to be a follower of Jesus or not? Yes or no? Does your Christianity just cover, you know, Sundays when you go sit in the church and then the rest of the week, nobody knows who you are? Or is Christ the king of every aspect of your life? Does believing in God and his precepts and his advice, does that cover the entirety of your life? Or is it just in certain things that you cherry pick where you feel comfortable letting him in? See, following Jesus is challenging, and we are at times called to stand for righteousness. There are times when you have to live out the faith you claim to believe in a real practical way. There's twofold reason for that. One, because living it out brings glory to God and there's a benefit to the world around you. And the second one is that your witness could powerfully impact or change someone's life. There are people around you, I don't care what kind of job you're in or what you do, no doubt there are people around you who are unbelievers. They're not Christians. And when you claim or you put it out there that you're a Christian, people are watching you. They're watching the way you react to things that they also react to, right? The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. So when we suffer, the world suffers as well, but they're looking to you, the Christian, to see how you react and how you respond. When we're facing challenging times like we are now, these tumultuous battle against the rise of progressive Marxism, how are you as a believer reacting? Are you dismissing it? Are you sticking your head in the sand? Are you just, you know, pretending like these things don't matter and don't exist? Or are you taking a stand for righteousness? Are you being bold? Are you being a leader that someone can follow, ultimately leading them to Christ? So, yeah, check out the article Harbingers Daily. I'll just read the last line of the article. I thought it was pertinent. This is Pastor Jack closes this, or a quote from Pastor Jack. He said, "Voting is a Christian responsibility. It's an opportunity to do good. And the Bible says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." That's James 4:17. And then he closes here. This is Pastor Jack says, "Am I saying that if you don't vote, it's a sin?" That's exactly what I'm saying. We concur and we agree based on history. So if I haven't said it already, you know, get out and vote. Brandon, you voted already, right? Did you just fill out your ballot and go drop it in a Dropbox?
No, I actually, and people are probably going to get mad at me, but I mailed it in. And I'm gonna track it on the little tracker that they give you, because they give you that ability. So if something happens, I'll be able to see, and then I can go and rectify that situation. But I actually did mail my ballot in, along with members of my family. So I know that that's kind of taboo in the Christian or the right wing world, but I did it. And speaking of which, I was talking to somebody yesterday about sort of mail-in returns, and at a school board race that we were looking at in particular, the Republicans actually had an advantage in ballots that had been returned relative to registration. And the only reason I bring that up is, A, it's interesting. I think the narrative is changing on mail-in ballots. Do I think that that gives the opportunity for fraud? Absolutely. But for the most part, can you mail your ballot in, track it, and make sure that everything's good to go? Yes. The other thing is, if Republicans have an advantage on the mail-in returns, I can't imagine on election day, where traditionally Republicans show up to vote on election day, that margin of I don't want to say victory, but that lead really should only increase if you look historically. So I think that that's good news for Republicans. The only other thing that I wanted to add to what you were talking about with the Book of Revelation and sort of are not voting and that being a sin is one thing that our pastor says a lot, is if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life for the jury to convict you? And I think that that's something that, is pretty powerful. He says a lot, right? If your family and your friends, and this applies to all of us, if like you said, you go to church on Sunday and then you live the 6 days of the week, and nobody knows that you're a Christian, well, you know,
something's wrong.
Yeah, you should really think about that. So it's just something that every time he says it, it's kind of like a little self-check, like, if I were in that situation, would I be found guilty? So, we're approaching the election day. It's on Tuesday. Every election is the most important election because it's the election that's happening right now. So we'll see what happens. I think that, we have good momentum and ultimately the Lord's in control and he knows the plan. So it's our duty to do what we can here on earth and, make
those decisions. And that's a good point. Like the Lord is ultimately in control, and we can rest in that knowledge. We do have peace as believers that the world doesn't have. I can imagine there's a, you know, whole bunch of conservatives that have no relationship with Jesus who are probably just in utter panic right now about what's going to happen. And don't get me wrong, like, this is a battle. This is an ideological battle for now that we should be engaged with. But ultimately, as a believer, we do have peace that God is in control. And that gives us an advantage. I mean, anybody who's been in battle from a warrior's perspective could tell you that peace of mind in battle makes you a way better soldier, a way better warrior, right? If you're panicking and freaking out and scared to die, then, you know, you're more concerned about yourself than you are about completing that mission.
Well, and that applies to anything, right? Anytime people panic, mistakes get made. I mean, yeah. Joe Biden very well could win this election on Tuesday.
And Joe Biden or Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris. Now I sound like Joe Biden. Kamala Harris could very well win this election.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Wednesday, we, you know, Christians could be raptured up and that sucks for everybody here on earth. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. So everything happens for a reason. That's the point that I wanted to get across. And, you know, I think they're, you know, like I said, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just real quick, before we close, touch on some of the reasons why, or like what the left is doing that makes this so important. Why is it so important that we get out and vote right now? Well, despite all of the, you know, there's going to be fraud, there's going to be, you know, shenanigans. We know that. We know that. But it doesn't excuse you from getting out and casting your ballot. Okay. There's a big difference between we caught people cheating and we exposed fraud or something, and you just saying, well, I just didn't vote. Okay. That's just cowardice. Like that's not even like, you don't even have a card in the game. You know what I mean? If you're not going to vote, then just sit down. You have nothing to say. That's not how America works. That's not how our constitutional republic works. I'll give you one good reason why you should get out and vote, because you heard those numbers I read, right? It totals millions of evangelical Christians who just did not vote. So everybody's worried about, you know, the border and has the influx of illegal immigrants contributed to, you know, potential illegal votes in this election? Probably. We know that specifically in areas that have equipped non-citizens to vote, like in California, where Newsom egregiously passed a law banning local voter ID requirements. I mean, that's just treason. I mean, that wouldn't be really that hard to prove. So they're really going all out this time on their hatred of America. And will that contribute to people voting who should not vote? Of course it will. There's no other reason for doing that. A blind person could see that. So it's even more important then that you don't sit home on your couch and whine about like, well, my ballot's not going to count. And it's like, dude, just get out and cast your vote. Get the numbers out there to overwhelm. There's still enough votes, especially taking into account the data that we've seen from that study on how many people just shirk their responsibility. They just don't even show up. So we can overwhelm the attempts of the enemy by just exercising our right to vote. So get out and vote. That's one thing for sure. The other thing is, Brandon, I sent you this yesterday. I saw this on Instagram. Let me pull it up real quick. This was an interview. A while back, I went on a podcast with Apollo. It's Apollo the Original on Instagram. He's got a podcast. It's got a bunch of interesting guests. I was on there a while back. But he recently interviewed Brenda Lebsack. You can watch the whole episode on YouTube. I believe it's Apollo the Original, episode 68 on YouTube. But she's talking about issues that she found in books, right? Like, we have our friend Karen England, who talks about this, like, porn in schools and public schools, this agenda that they're pushing on our kids. Okay, so what am I getting at? Another reason to vote: the left is destroying your children, and they're very open about it. It's not like they're hiding it. They're putting parameters and systems in place to remove the parents from having any oversight over their children's education. Okay, we could talk about that in a whole episode in and of itself. But schools are a battleground in this country right now. Anyways, this episode with Brenda Lebsack, she talks about this book. This Book Is Gay. It's a book that was at sort of the epicenter of a lot of the discussion and inappropriate material in public schools. And she reads this part towards the end where this is a book in elementary schools, by the way. It's all over public schools, all over the country. There's a section in the book that encourages kids to download an app where they can meet up with other members, adult members of the LGBT community. It maps out where they are. It tells them how to meet, and then it tells them how to join clubs.
Philia or minor attracted persons from an evolving sexuality, and they refuse to do it. It tells kids, this is what it says, step by step. Number one, upload a tiny picture of yourself to the app. Number two, the app works out your location. Number three, the app tells you who the nearest homosexuals are. Number four, you then chat with them. Number five, because they are near, it's easy to meet up with them. I said, why is this in the knowledge mobile? And he said, I'm getting pressured by commissioners and politicians. They are using the suicide hotline as an indoctrination tool to normalize all of these genders. They had a gay men's club, but the tagline was, let's talk about boys. The Trevor Space, this whole suicide prevention and how they are using this as a cover up for something that I believe is using our schools as a pipeline to human trafficking. I spoke at the National Educators Association. They let me speak, but when I brought up the Trevor Project, the president, Becky Pringle, cut me off immediately. The Trevor Project is a sacred cow. You cannot touch it.
Dude, that is so insane. You heard what she's talking about there. I mean, unbelievable what's happening in your schools. And we're way past the time where people are like, oh, that's not happening. I mean, school board races locally, wherever you live, are crucial in the fight to protect children and save this country. So much so that in California, the Democrats lost their minds when locally elected people kicked back on this, like, abusing, over-sexualizing child agenda that they run here. So much so that the gruesome Newsom himself stepped in and personally went after locally elected officials. I mean, like a communist, right? It has never been more important, if you're alive today, in your lifetime, that you vote to defeat the progressive Marxist agenda in this country. No one's hiding anymore what they're trying to do. So if you don't, who will? No one will. So, you know, you have laws being signed that ban showing IDs when you vote. You have the teachers' unions going after your kids to over-sexualize them. And who knows what happens? You know, she goes into that interview into trafficking. And wasn't it interesting how the guy said, when she asked, well, why is this in a child's book in elementary school? And he said, well, I'm getting pressure from politicians. I mean, listen, you have a republic only if you can keep it. This is an opportunity, November 5th, to exercise your voice, to fight back. You can shut it down by just showing up, because we don't know what's coming in the future. Now, we know that God's in control, and so we have a peace there. What I'm more concerned about for you listening is, are you doing the right thing, right? Were you the German citizens who stood up against Hitler and what he did with the Nazi youth? Or did you just go hide in your house and turn in your neighbors when they went against the government's wishes? So get out and vote. There's a lot on the line. Recently, you know, at a campaign, Kamala Harris was blasted over and over and over again because someone at her rally shouted, Jesus is Lord, right? And she immediately responded, like, total, like, Freudian, like, didn't even think about it. She said, oh, you're at the wrong rally. I mean, if that doesn't tell you all you need to know, then I guess I don't know what to do for you. But so get out and vote. Brandon, any closing thoughts here before we end our final pre-election podcast?
Nope, just get in on a vote and go vote no matter what the polls say, because I know in 2020, and they do this every election, they try to suppress people from showing up. You know, you work all day, you get off at 5, there's these hour-long lines sometimes at the voting booth, and they try to say, oh, Trump, you know, Trump's down in Pennsylvania by, you know, 11 points, and then, people stay home, but then he ends up voting, or, you know, he ends up winning that state by 18 points or whatever. So just try to... There's going to be a lot of noise. There has been a lot of noise. There will be a lot of noise between now and Election Day. No matter the noise, make sure that you vote, because even in a state like California, where sure, those 55, 54 electoral votes will go to Kamala. There's local races, school board races, city council races, state assembly races. Those races matter as well. And so you might not be able to affect the presidential election here in California, but you can affect your community and your locality and people who are representing you up in the state capitol. So regardless of the noise or anything that you hear or don't hear, make sure you vote.
Yeah, and you can, like, at a minimum, live with yourself in good conscience, right? Like, I don't know how you can be just so apathetic and not care about anyone around you and as your country crumbles. Parting thoughts, check us out on definingtruth.org for the website. Also on Instagram, and give us a follow on there. It definitely helps show support. Defining Truth on Instagram. We recently posted a series of slides on our Instagram and Facebook, I believe, called You Must Vote. It's not a reel, it's a post, but it's a series of slides. It's a section of our book, Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. But it's very appropriate for this week. And I just want to read you a section of this and sort of end on this. I would remind today's Christians that America has no king. The government is the people, and the people are the government. Therefore, we are to co-rule and decide the direction of our culture and our society. When we've relinquished our rights and civic duties to a few individuals and instead turned our eyes away from the horizon and down toward our feet, we will certainly pay the price. We're at the mercy of those leading us forward. And when those leading us forward have adopted the very ideology of our enemies, we're doomed. We are now at the precipice of great failure. It all depends on the people to awake, rise, and press forward unto truth. America once believed in natural law, derived from the Creator who created life with intent and purpose. In large part, this was true because of church leaders who stood for righteousness and were unashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is Satan himself who has convinced the American church to shirk its civic responsibility in favor of apathy. What a great shame upon our nation that the church, the very guardian of morality and all that is good, has surrendered to the secular approved perspective of non-involvement. Not only is this wrong, it is something God will hold every church leader accountable for, because as we see in Scripture, silence can be viewed as approval. Such was the case with Esther, as we see Mordecai reminding the queen, and I quote, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther 4:14. So get in the fight, get out and vote, and regardless of the outcome, keep standing for truth and defining it. We'll catch you guys after the election.